bandwidth and hosting for the British Tech Network is provided by UK2.net. Innovative, affordable, and reliable web hosting. Hello, welcome to the Mac Show. No, it's not even that, is it? I've done too many Guinness tests. There's been some studies done into why some of the bubbles in Guinness go down and some of the bubbles in Guinness go up. And you can see me pint there, just clearing beautifully. Look, and I saw
some of the bubbles go down.
I've got to say, I've spent most of the week trying to find out which bubbles go down and which bubbles go up. The buggers are difficult to tag, I'm telling you. And it's not the Mac Show, by the way, it's the Big Show, just in case you hadn't noticed. And
very good, Paul.
I'm inconclusive. Inconclusive. There you go. Irish mathematicians, the big tech news of the week, basically, is that Irish mathematicians have been trying to figure out why some bubbles go down and some bubbles go up in Guinness.
Only in Guinness.
And I'm trying to help.
Is that right?
Yeah, cheers.
It's called science.
Now, isn't Guinness like one of the densest, thickest beers? Like drinking a glass is like having a loaf of bread.
Well, it's a porter if you want to be serious.
It's a meal in a glass.
It's a stout or a porter, which is a type of beer.
What's a porter? I've never heard that term.
It's a porter. It's a type of beer.
Dark beer.
We're here to discuss the week's technology. We're not here to discuss why nitrogen bubbles go down and carbon dioxide bubbles go up in non-Newtonian fashion. They use some big words. I did actually write down here the title of the study that they've done. And the title of the study that they've done is a study to show why stout bubbles can go both up and down and the Newtonian and non-Newtonian action of nitrogen carbon dioxide in stouts and porter beers. The title's really boring, but the exercise in study would be bloody brilliant.
Well, see, when it's a study on drinking beer, you have to come up with a title like that, or else people think it's just a bunch of people getting drunk.
I think they need a second opinion. That's my point. Anyway, the week in technology with all of us trying to be figuring out what's going on and discussing it with me will be far more sober individuals than me. They will be Mr. James Hart, top left. How you doing, pal?
Hello, and I'm just assuming you want a cookie.
Doesn't know if it spoils me Guinness, mate. But having that Jaffa cakes and Guinness,
you're gonna have to have one. Sorry, there's no choice. You're going to have unless you click no. You've got to have one. Sorry.
Well, I've got to say, James.
Very good, James.
I've got to say, James, that I have become far better of late of trying new things because I had a pizza in the Indian owned Greek chef. Italian at Heathrow, right. And it was a curry pizza called the Maharaja, but curry has seriously been missing mozzarella. Mozzarella goes with curry like you wouldn't believe. It is stunning.
Wow!
You learned something this evening.
Cheese generally help everything. Yep.
There's nothing cheese doesn't go with.
Cheese and bacon. Can't go wrong with cheese and bacon being added. No, I suppose not.
And Marmite as well.
But Jaffa cakes and Guinness. Now, that may work.
It may work.
How's your week been, dude?
It's been difficult, to be honest with you. I've had appraisals to do. It's been too humid and stuff's broken at work. But hey, it's nearly the weekend. It's nearly the Jubilee. We're celebrating our dear old Queen being on the throne for 60 years.
Yes. Now the Queen...
apparently some people are rowing up the Thames in celebration. I'm not entirely sure what that's all about.
I've heard there's a barge, but she's not. Supposedly, she's on at the head of this procession, and there were 1,000 in this flotilla, but she's not actually in the barge.
I thought she was going to be in on.
No, I thought she wasn't. She might be in now, but she wasn't going to be in at one point or something. So
right from when I first heard about it, they said the Queen was going to be on this barge. They spent a fortune refitting it, haven't they?
Exactly. I think it's dreadful.
Schrodinger's Queen. We don't know if she's on the barge, but if we find out, she'll disappear.
Well, we're giving her a bloody ship this year. I mean, the least she could do is climb in the frigging barge.
Come on, woman. You madge.
Next to him, the William Wallace of broadcasting.
Broadcasting,
even. Well, no, if it's slip of fit, Cinders. Mr. Paul Wheatley, how you doing, mate?
I'm all right, thank you. How are you?
I'm okay. Not bad. The Guinness is obviously working.
Indeed.
I've not come to any conclusions yet, but we'll see if we get there. What's been happening in your world, mate? Because you've been a bit busy for us lately, haven't you?
Yeah, well, last week in particular, it was quite busy. This week, there's been very little, to be honest. But last week, yeah, there was the web show, the iOS show, and the second show, the gamer show as well. There was a lot of shows in that sentence.
Well, that's what the shows, the whole network does the something show, so.
Yeah, I like that format.
Yeah, I like it too. It's kind of like the one with in the Friends thing. Now, gamer show's doing well, mate. You've gone and got some new games, apparently, for the cheapy review.
Yes, yeah, I went away and got a pile the other day, primarily because Sam and Chiz took them off me last week and went through them, so I thought that kind of ruined the surprise a little bit, so I had to go and get some fresh
ones. No, I think you need vault storage there, and then you need to give them out on the night that you record, and no different.
Yeah, I think so. I think it kind of ruins it, them seeing it, but no, I've got some good ones this week, got some good ones.
Excellent.
Yeah, we'll be recording tomorrow night.
iOS show, mate, you're 25th in iTunes, well done.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you're 25th this week so far.
Oh, wow.
So well done, pal. So, you've got a good start going there. Very good first episode as well.
Oh, yeah, enjoyed it.
Now, I just want to give a shout out while we're talking about the iOS show. If you've got a podcast called The iOS Show and you want to send me an email saying that I'm a complete bastard and stole the name of your show, there's 25 people who've written to me saying that this week. So ooh. I'm kind of figuring you should start with them. Over me. And I've got to say, when I put in the iOS show in iTunes, in quotes, we're the only ones that come back that are called the iOS show. So if you don't like it, well, shove it. I don't really care.
Oh, well, fair enough.
Otherwise, you'd have to call yourselves an iOS show.
Yeah, you can with the iOS show. So the rest you can be something else.
Just go with the best iOS show.
Well, you can hardly trademark it, can you? So, hey, what the hell?
One thing I've not been short of this year is pissing people off. I think we've done it readily. But never mind, eh?
You can't please all the people all the time.
Indeed.
I need to mention the web show as well. Being that,
Indeed you know, do.
Than mention, dude. I mean, if you've had a shirt made.
You know what's really annoying? I actually thought I was going to be... it was actually going to be visible. So halfway through the show, I actually made a second one.
Have you got like a printing press for T-shirts?
Halfway through the show.
Well, as long as you do it off camera, that's no worries, yeah.
No, you know what it is, Paul, don't you? You actually need a headband with it on it. That'll
There we go.
Yeah.
McEnroe.
Actually, I've got a big open wall behind me there. I could just use that next time.
Well, if you put green screen up, I'll do it for you, mate. It's easy.
Okay.
Beneath Paul, we've got Ms. Gray. How you doing, girl?
Yeah, I'm fine, thank you. I was also doing the web show the other day as well, so...
The greenness have gone out of your cheeks.
How was it?
Because you were pretty jealous that I got ready to go around Marouche today.
Yeah, it's in my eyes, really. You can still see it there if you look closely enough.
I'm sorry.
That's all right.
But you're stuck in Ireland with the parents.
I wouldn't say stuck.
Right, okay. But they're not allowed to come and make a cup of tea this evening, I take it, because you're broadcasting, so...
Well, no, we've got our own place now. This is our own pad, so I can come here and everybody else has gone out, so I've got the place to myself, which makes broadcasting a lot easier.
Excellent.
It solves the problem.
Stu in the chat room is upset because he doesn't have a Jaffa Cake or a Guinness, and Tone wants to know if broadcasting needs a stick.
I'm on the boring water tonight.
And last, but by no means least, from Sunny Petaluma, Eric Lanigan. How you doing, pal?
Hello, I'm good, especially now that I can hear everybody.
Yeah, sorry, that was my fault. I fully admit it. I'm useless.
I read you loud and clear now. Good to be here.
The Week in Tech. What a week it's been.
Of course, we are a truly international show tonight. Well, three countries represented.
Paul's not international. He's national. He's another nation. He's not an international.
Maybe not for long.
It's only you and James in England.
Four countries and Birmingham.
Where the indigenous population all know each other. If you ever meet someone bred in Birmingham, don't mate with them. Angry Birds is going to open a theme park in Nottingham. Now, if you want to know about inbred, go to Nottingham. Up in Mansfield is pretty much... all inbred. And I used to play rugby there, that's why I know. Angry Birds is coming. There's going to be a theme park An Angry Birds theme park. It's going to be the Euro Disney of small iOS games at 69 pence. How much it costs to get in, it's probably going to be an awful lot more expensive than 69 pence, I would have said. Chrome has released, or Google Chrome, has released itself two new pieces of hardware. We've got the Chrome box, which is the one there, and we've also got the Chrome Book, which is an update, a Series 5 Chromebook. Here we can see two that were left behind by a government official here in the UK on the sidewalk. And here's one that's begging at Cannon Street Station.
Oh, yeah, those Charing Cross, but yes.
All right.
They are very nice looking bits of kit, actually. I believe that the Chromebook isn't, it's not super powered. But I reckon it's, didn't they say it's of equivalent to an Apple TV, isn't it? So it's kind of,
yes. Yeah,
it's like a net top.
It's more than a little bit underpowered in terms of that, for sure. But we'll talk about it in a sec. Virgin has installed underground systems so that you can tweet out, and someone has sent one tweet, so it does work, but there's only one tweet that's been sent out from it. And BBC iPlayer is getting some traction, apparently. It's had a significant growth in views. So Mr. BBC, James Hart, will be filling us in on that one. And Outlook seemed to wipe a day out this week. A day just disappeared, but never mind. And scientists, mathematicians, nay, in Ireland, have been studying why bubbles go up and down in Guinness. And that's a fantastic effort. I would have loved to have donated to their study, but it didn't happen. And I'd love to be on the panel anymore. Here's what's really worrying. If you put in Guinness glass filling and you go for large in Google Images, here's one of the replies that comes back. It's a Guinness glass with three eggs in it. Now, I have no idea what that is. Guinness glass filling, and it comes back with a Guinness glass with three eggs. Why would you waste good eggs in a good Guinness glass?
Well, no, see, as we talked about, the Guinness is such a thick beer that if you leave it sit out for too long, that's what it turns into.
it congeals into eggs. Over.
Stuff turning water into wine. Let's turn Guinness into eggs.
It just condenses.
I'm just glad Safe Search was on.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I hadn't thought of that. You just got this vision of like a passage in the Bible with some guy turning up and saying, that Jesus bloke, complete fraud. I'm going to turn Guinness into eggs.
Isn't that putting eggs in the glass in the hope that it actually turns into Guinness?
Is that putting all your eggs in one glass?
Oh, he's on form tonight.
I gave you guys loads of time to come up with that line.
You beat me too. I was going to say put all your eggs in one Guinness.
Right, where should we start? Chromebook. I mean, we got a couple of things here that are interesting. A, it's a new piece of hardware, which is great, and it looks kind of sleek and nice. B, it's an operating system that's entirely reliant on web connection, and if you haven't got web connection, And everything.
But it doesn't have disk, though, does it?
Yeah.
It's got a Google Disk, so it's got no hard drive. You know, it's got no file storage or anything like that.
I mean, there's a first question about a hardware. Is the hardware good enough and powerful enough, and has it got a market? And the second question is, has the whole concept even got a market of WebOS rather than drive-based OS?
Well, given that Microsoft Windows 8 is said to be killing the idea of netbooks anyway... there's no small version of Windows 8. They're saying that to buy a brand new netbook with Windows 8 on it, you have to buy the full license copy, which is $100 or quid or something. I think Chrome have come in a little bit late in it. And the yardstick by which I measure this is, do I know anyone who's got one? And nobody I know has got a Chromebook. And so is anybody going to buy one of these? Probably not.
I think in terms of the laptop market and the mobile form factor computing market, they're less than 1% traction.
The asking price is like almost $500, right? And I think it shows that
more money.
Yeah, I mean, by the time you pay that, you can get a pretty decent PC laptop. And even if you take out the cost, I mean, you can get Windows installed on it for that price. But even if you deduct the cost of Microsoft Windows and put Linux on there, it'd still be nice to have something more than just a Chrome browser, which you can just have by running any operating system already. You'd still have Chrome. It would have all the same functions as any version of Chrome out there, whether it's a Chromebook or the Chrome that you download. But you'd have all other programs able to run.
You could buy an Asus Transformer Prime for $500.
I mean, you've got to say as well, at this kind of price, the processors are not particularly good. I mean, there's a lot of, you know, for $100 more.
But if it's only running a web browser, do the processors need to be that good?
I'm not suggesting that they do need to be very good. They can be very crap, absolutely. But if they're going to be very crap, surely that there's a price that goes along with very crap.
Yeah, I agree.
See, I never saw the $500 price. I thought it was about 270 quid, like British pounds. And then that kind of works in the netbook market a little bit, I suppose.
I think the box is in at $329 and this thing's in at $429 to $449, according to the thing I've seen on it. Are you saying, Eric, that you've seen different prices to that?
I think I did, or I just skimmed the article wrong. I'm pretty sure I saw that price somewhere.
Yeah, the prices tend to be quite high anyway, don't they?
The 550 is the serial number, dude.
No.
Yeah, it is.
No, there was a dollar. No, not 550. No, it was something 449.
Here's an idea, guys.
429.
How would the idea of a Chromebook running on an what is essentially an Android tablet? But not as with Android, but just actually as Chrome as the actual OS. How would that sound?
Here's what I was about to say was I think one of the problems is we think of web browsing as being the thing that doesn't need a whole lot of CPU power. But as it's turned into, web browsing is the thing that arguably needs the most for average computing. One of the benchmarks of a capable computer is that it can play 1080p video. I think that's one of the reasons it's felt like things like progress has slowed down recently. You know, we can do pretty good 3D even on built-in GPUs on the same die as the CPU. We can do 1080p video very easily on most devices now, even tablets. So, but those alone, you playing Flash, playing lots of, even games on the internet, you do have to hit a certain target CPU, you know, that is higher to support Flash and HD video and other things than you would have to with just the text-based internet that we, you know, was the benchmark a few years ago.
Well, not to mention NVIDIA's move the other week of talking about the cloud-based rendering. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's going to, you're going to need something reasonably good in the machine for that to actually gain any kind of of feasibility and traction. But to be fair, this thing's not aimed at gaming, though.
Right.
Well, what is it? The thing is, what is it aimed at?
Email and whatnot, surely.
Say again, Paul.
I was just saying, surely this thing is entirely aimed at somebody who's wanting to check email, browse the web, look at the BBC and things like that. It's really aimed at gamers. It's not aimed at somebody who maybe wants to watch 1080p video on a regular basis.
Except they make you pay the same price that you would for a pretty hefty internet connection. I think the model of having a super low price computer just for web browsing does not match up with the idea that you have to pay for an expensive 3G wireless connection to do anything, even just, you know, type a letter.
James, you were going to say something there.
Mm. Well, two things. The first thing is, I bet it doesn't have Flash on it. I've got the Android browser for my mobile phone. Doesn't come with Flash. Flash is going away to be replaced by HTML5, which is more efficient, but still you require amount of processing power to be able to render video, as you say, to be able to do the interactive stuff, to do the 3D model, all the stuff that HTML5 can do. You need some reasonable processing power to do that. But not only therefore does the Chromebook not have the processing power, but also web pages aren't being delivered in that format yet. So it's both ahead of its time and behind the times. So that's really weird. So yeah, it can't get the web pages it needs yet, and it's got a crappy old processor in it. So I think they've missed the mark there. Totally, I think.
Yep.
I mean, Google's throwing a few turkeys around at the moment. You know,
I've seen something in the chat room saying IE10 is going to support Flash on some advanced sites. I read that as well. What the bloody hell does that mean?
Well, advanced sites, they were talking about sites that offered feasibility of option for HTML5 as well, as so that there was dual content, you know, kind of like the YouTube-y thing. But I
interrupted you.
Really, on an advanced site, you wouldn't have Flash content anyway.
Well, that was one of the points that was made by Tony in the chat room last week in the big show was you know, what kind of advanced site in inverted commas would be using Flash anyway? But that's maybe a bit harsh.
But I mean, I don't know. Flash should go.
So who's going to buy one of these?
I think when I saw it and I thought, I'm thinking about the media PC that I've got at home that's hooked up to our telly. And I could see that most of the things we actually run on that to display on TV for watching iPlayer and things like that, which are all through the browser. So I could actually see, yeah, I could actually have got one of those instead of the media PC, because virtually everything we're running on it is running through a browser.
Well, except you can get a Media Center PC for that can play, you know, 1080p MKV files of any format, Blu-ray rips, whatever you can throw at it for, I think, less than $500.
Yeah, I'm not talking about on the price basis. I'm just talking in terms of what you'd actually use it for, Eric.
Okay.
I mean, yes, it is not competitive price-wise. I would agree with that.
So I wonder what is their market here? I used to think it would be for, you know, corporate installations, network rollouts, where they wouldn't so much be wireless as they would be always connected to the Ethernet network and to the corporate internet. But the focus on laptops and on wireless networks seems to not be going in that direction. They seem to be saying this is a portable laptop, not a corporate desktop.
I can see the Chromebox being used as some kind of kiosk machine. Client jobby.
What, you mean like one of those ones where you put £4 in on holiday and it gives you get four pictures out? And
No. If for example, you've got an interactive display or something like that, because almost every estate agent you go past now has got massive, great monitors with rotating pictures of carouseling pictures of houses. They don't have the bits of paper anymore. And that would probably be the sort of kit that they would use to power that. Because you don't want anything overpowered. But the thing is, you can't justify the cost of it if you do that. You might as well just buy an old Pentium 4.
So you look at that kind of stuff.
Or an Apple TV.
Say again, Paul?
An Apple TV. Windows of estate agents and whatnot.
Or one of those new little $35 PCs that are coming on, you know, like you get a little circuit board.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, mine is probably waiting for me at home.
I'm still waiting for mine. Boom.
The other thing that you've got to look at, though, as well, is if you look at shop front display and shop front cash registers and those kind of interactive things, I'm thinking about the self-checkout stuff that you've got at Sainsbury's, Tesco, Morrison's, those kind of the main supermarket chains. Those are all Linux-based.
I know.
They're nearly all running Linux. So, in terms of the traction of the market, if you want to break into that market, you've got some firms who for 10 years have seriously been thinking about till operating systems and stock control systems, and they're all written on Linux. There's a huge amount written on Linux. So they're not going to suddenly just jump into that anyway. I mean, only thing that I looked at... Sorry, go ahead.
I was just going to say, plus a lot, at least half of the world's web servers are running on some form of Linux. Mm.
Paul, did you have a point?
No, I didn't. No, sorry.
Oh, okay.
I was just checking about it. It was still working. Sorry.
The only other thing I thought about is who's supporting the student market now?
iPads.
Of the big manufacturing markets for a screen and notebook style experience, who is supporting the education market now? Because the dog turd MacBook has gone, and there is nothing of a reasonable price unless you're buying a Windows computer. Would computing for schools and IT departments benefit from having a low quality processor with very, very limited restriction for access to files? No one's going to hack into the drive and rewrite stuff on this. It's all tied to the net. All of your documents are in the net. If you want to work from home, if you want to work from the school, you can get access to it through Google Docs, regardless of what computer you've got, and you can give these things out very cheaply. Just spitballing.
Schools aren't going to go with Google Docs. They're all pinned entirely around the Microsoft ethos. It has to be a Docker, it has to be written in some kind of Microsoft Office product. And the whole idea of sticking stuff in the cloud is just going to scare the bejesus out of local governments that talking about putting them in schools.
But I mean, Google Docs has landed Homeland Security and Department of the Interior in the States for provision of computing. Google Docs and stuff.
And we've also got
Sorry,
I was just going to say, one of my other local authorities that I'm friendly, that I have quite a good contact with, have just signed a major deal with Google to use Google Docs, so they could certainly use it for you know, off, you know, remote working and so on and so forth.
It's the reliability on a network, though. I mean, I was just picturing 50 students in the lecture theatre all vying for one wireless network connection and struggling to be able to do what they do. The only place you could probably use this is in an underground station these days.
James, I was just going to say, does everyone struggle for wireless network connections the same way you do? No, you changed your router. All right, sorry. Eric, I'm sorry, dude, I couldn't miss the jibe.
I'll just say very, very briefly, to be honest with you, we have a wireless connection at work, and at around about 8:30 in the morning, it is spit hot, really good. Come 11 o'clock, useless, because everybody is hammering the living crap out of it.
Mm.
Yeah, James makes a good point, though, because if you are in a situation like that, taking notes or some critical situation where a brief drop-off or an absence of Wi-Fi would mean you have a non-computer, you know, take out your start scribbling with your pencil because you've got no computer left. That'd be horrible for a school situation or anything like that.
Definitely, yeah. Google Docs just hangs when you lose your web connection. Absolutely nothing happens.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, there's points here being made in the chat room. You know, is this a Google Turkey, the Chrome Turkey? Sorry, would it be more successful if it didn't have online only? Would an offline mode make it more successful?
Absolutely,
I have to say yes. I mean, there's no question. I mean, one of the frustrations that I've got with any of the Google services that they've done is I don't have a desktop entity.
Does anyone think Google might someday make their own Linux distribution and then try to use that to take over the entire server market? Really, any corporate PC, including, you know, this type of thing, put a real Linux distribution on there.
That's James Bond plotline stuff.
Oh.
It
exactly
is.
What Apple have done.
Eh? Hang on.
Well, they took Linux and developed it into, what is OS X, didn't they?
Well, Unix, they took BSD, but I mean, they share the same...
They made OpenBSD, yeah.
They share Linux and BSD, they share a common ancestor.
I think that's. I mean, I know you strive for jibes at jobs, Sarah, but that's probably going for a bit...
It's a bit tenuous, I know, but it is a valid point.
You walked down the same street as my mother 5 years before she tripped over. It's your fault.
Claims direct.
Claims direct. Have you followed down a street 5 years prior to anyone else? We might be able to sue. No win, no fee.
Okay, if I may throw something in, because this may be an interesting segue, because you're talking, one of you guys mentioned, I forget who now, said Google has had a lot of products now that seem to have been a bust. And the biggest one, I think, is Google Plus. You know, they tried to directly do a Facebook. And then speaking of Facebook and kind of tying into Chromebooks, big rumors this week in the New York Times that there are all this evidence that Facebook is developing their own mobile phone, that they're hiring all these people to work in the Facebook headquarters to make a phone with the hardware and the software and everything. And then Tim Cook, although I'm guessing you're saving most of that for the Mac show, but he was on the All Things D conference saying that he's working with Facebook. He said, stay tuned. He said he was talking with Sheryl Sandberg at Facebook and they're at that conference and said how they're two very stubborn companies, and if they have Facebook on the iPhone or iOS devices, he'd want it to be the best possible implementation, as is Apple's ethos. We want the best implementation of everything, which to me sounds like he might, to make a little conspiracy rumor here, he might be trying to convince Facebook to drop their plans to develop their own phone and instead double down on their iPhone presence, build it out to begin with, really, and make that the premier Facebook phone, because the phone itself is already so popular. Wouldn't that benefit Facebook more than a physical hardware phone?
I think that would be a very sensible approach.
Well, where is Facebook, though? Where on earth is Facebook after all the troubles that they've had? You know, their share price is now below 30. There's been talk about a phone associated with Facebook for 2 years, and there's been a couple of HTC models came out that have got the Facebook logo in the bottom corner. HTC's dying a death.
The Char-Char as well, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, allegedly...
That's a really nice phone, actually. I like it.
Allegedly, in the UK alone, since the share flotation of Facebook, 70,000 users have joined.
Really?
Yeah.
Is that
700,000 users? Say again, Paul.
Is that different to the normal? I mean, 70,000 users. How many do they normally get in the UK in that time period?
Yeah, I think it's a standard uptake. No, it's not. It's a standard uptake for them. So they're still growing. Mm-hmm. You know, they're very close to 1 billion users now. And yet the flotation that they've got says that they're crap. If you look at what Tim Cook said, I think there's an awful lot more to that of, well, we looked at it, we saw them float, we saw them tank, we're going to suck it and see, you know, we're going to hold around. We don't need great integration with Facebook, because I'm not sure that what money would Apple make from a closer association with Facebook? I don't think they make an awful lot.
I would imagine very sensible users have a Facebook account than have a Twitter account. Well, they're really, really tied in with Twitter at the moment. It just makes sense for them to do the Facebook thing.
Yeah, I think it makes a lot more sense. I think a lot more regular people are on Facebook and sending Facebook messages to one another than are tweeting, because tweeting is still kind of a public broadcasting thing. You know, it was originally set up to be for small groups, but I don't really think people use it that way like they do with Facebook. But yeah, I think the financial benefit to Apple doesn't exist now, but it would if Facebook was really going to become a full-on competitor to the iPhone. And they would say, hey, you know, don't do that. Put those plans on hold and just come work on your iPhone software.
I can't see that a Google phone is going to do anything over and above what any existing smartphone currently does, even the BlackBerry.
I mean, Facebook phone.
The Facebook phone would do nothing over that. What did I say?
Google phone.
Google phone, sorry.
Google.
Yeah, they kind of did that. And theirs is crap as well. Shh, don't tell Sarah I said that.
Well, for example, there is a separate Facebook chat app that you can get for your phone. And I think that's one of the areas I think Facebook does want to get into. They want to take over from when MSN Messenger, AOL, what was the AOL thing called? I can't remember. It was AIM, wasn't it? Yahoo Messenger, ICQ, I don't know. They want to subvert those by having, because you have so many contacts on Facebook, it becomes this kind of, it becomes a social instant messenger media thing. And it's interesting that you were saying that the growth may be due to the fact that people can instantly communicate with each other. There was also mention in the chat room of the fact that Instagram sort of may have caused a peak as well when it hit the news, I guess, that Facebook had acquired Instagram. Everyone said, oh, I've got Instagram, connect with Facebook and have a bit more of a play. Although I don't see that there'll be, I don't know where the new Facebook users are going to come from. Who's joining Facebook now?
Well, there's only six
people who are just turning 30.
The growth market for Facebook now is the kind of 70 pluses, 60 pluses.
Good Lord.
My mother.
That's a short-term market.
Not these days, Eric.
God, the baby boomers.
The chat app, though, they've launched the photo app. You know, there's rumours of them maybe buying Opera. You know, that's just all the pieces of the puzzle for them to go ahead and make some kind of phone or, you know, make something else of a similar nature. You know, they've got a messaging app, they've got their events thing, which is effectively a calendar. They've got photographs, they've got a Spotify integration for music. I mean, they've got all the fundamental pieces for a phone.
Yeah, I mean, there's a good point from Jenks here in the chat room that's saying that you know, if we're looking at expansion of markets, we are, he's not writing all of this, by the way, but we are kind of very centric to our own nations. So, you know, very much America's is very concentrated on its own influence on the tech market. Britain is influenced on his, you know, I sit and think of tech in terms of what I want from it and what I want to do with it. But Jenks's point in the chat room is African, Latin America, China, all of those people is where the growth in users is coming from. And those growth in those users is going to be a huge market for a hardware device that's cheap, that's accessible, that's Facebook driven and centric. And we don't think an awful lot about what previous third world countries would want out of their tech. We think about what we want out of it. And actually, we're not the money anymore.
That's a very good point. And yes, I think that Facebook absolutely could, and maybe that would even be a very good idea if they released sort of a, not an iPhone competitor, but a hybrid between a smartphone and a feature phone. You know, put a touchscreen, but rather than having third-party applications, have it all be funneled through Facebook, everything from the camera to the messenger to the email, you know, have everything in the phone be tied, just have a Facebook-exclusive phone. I think they could do that, and you're right. Other parts of the world, that would be huge.
My thought process in my head is, how tech-savvy are these developing nations, such as Africa and Latin America? Am I doing them a disservice by saying that Facebook is the kind of messianic name that they will gravitate to. I mean, you look at the Philippines, talking to Kyle, one of our contacts out there, you know, the big thing is to just own an Apple product, just to have something that's got an Apple logo on it, because people don't actually think about the functionality of what they want. They just want to be able to carry around and show their friends that they have the logo. So within these areas, is there a, you know, Apple, Facebook, those are the things that are cool with the kids. Those are the things that I actually want to have. And
I don't think I think Apple and Facebook are two different. They're two different currencies. I don't think Facebook has the status. I think actually Facebook has a status in the UK, the US, maybe Europe, South Asia. Take Brazil. Brazil has been using Orkut. I was just looking. The 60% of Orkut users were Brazilian in October last year. It is still massive in that area. Japan has their own Facebook. Their own social networks. I think China has one. I can't remember the name of it, but there's a massive social network growing in China as well. And so for Facebook to gain traction, I don't think, you know, there's no global brand for a social network. When somebody says social network in this country, they say Facebook. If you say social network, I guess, in Japan or Brazil, you'll get a different answer. And I'm wondering if Facebook are fighting against other potential providers, possibly even internal ones, who will have a much better idea of their market to be able to get a foothold. And I wouldn't be surprised if like in India and Nigeria and all these massive countries which have their own societies, their own cultures, there wasn't one that emerged from within rather than without.
That's a good point. I think people may eventually get fed up with all social networks coming from the United States, and they may start differentiating. I've said before, I think the next big social network, the thing that will unseat Facebook, will be a very decentralized approach whereby a person's profile is more like a web page in the sense that it's a beacon that search engines can come to and aggregate, rather than having to be hosted and go out from the same in-group network like a Facebook.com. I also want to point out that I think one of the reasons Facebook got so overvalued is because a lot of analysts, traditional non-techie analysts, tend to think of a company like that and they say, wow, they must have really had a great product that captured the hearts and minds of the world, of the customers. And I think what they overlook is that the Facebooks of the past, whether it was AOL or MySpace or the time that AOL's Instant Messenger broke free and became the dominant platform, or even the About Me page was like became a sort of a profile for people. A lot of that is being at the right place at the right time. Facebook, I think, really took off between 2007 and today because it coincided with the growth of, with the boom in smartphones, with the boom in QWERTY keyboards. Every kid now has a QWERTY keyboard. That's why the texting rose. You don't have to do the goofy thing with the numbers anymore. It's just a regular old keyboard right there with a full high resolution display. So people have the internet more. And the more they get the smartphones, the more they come onto the internet, they say, hey, I'd like to have a personal presence. In the past, you'd go towards GeoCities or an AOL profile or the MySpace, just whatever was popular at that time. In the peak time of any popular social network, where in-group inclusivity, like being on, like we have to be on the same Facebook. GeoCities not as inclusive. Facebook fully inclusive, right? So I think at any given time, you have a small number of people who are the leaders there, who really sought it out and chose it for its value. Everyone else went there because their friends are already there, and it's the default.
There's some points here in the chat.
Your social network. I think you're right there. I think you're right there. It is about also, to a certain extent, they were first, as you were saying. And I think when you look at the likes of Twitter, this is the problem that they're always having, is that because Facebook, to a certain extent, in the Western world, has saturated the market, that's why Twitter is having problems getting up to the same level. And I don't necessarily see that as an issue, but it explains that, really, that Facebook, to a certain extent, has reached saturation.
There's a point in the chat.
It's not quite true to say it was first, though, because Orkut did come long before them.
No, I'm not, you know what I mean? I don't necessarily mean, you know, Apple aren't necessarily first with tablets or whatever, but, you know, they were the first ones to get it right and to get the traction, as you
good
say.
Point. Yeah.
And that, yeah, and Sarah, that, and you're right, because that's the most important thing to happen with a product like that, where it's really not a personal choice. It's the choice of where your friends already are.
Yeah, with Facebook, certainly.
So it has a network effect. It reached the point of no return.
Jenks in the chat room is suggesting that because I blew my cheeks out because I was waiting to speak, that I'm going to go Hulk on you, but I'm not. there's a point made here. Tone says, what Eric describes sounds like Google Plus to me. If it's used right, that's exactly what it can be, a portal to more.
But I think the thing with Google Plus is that really shows the fact that it hasn't taken off. And, you know, we've said in the past, you know, do any of us still use Google Plus?
On a Friday.
Okay, use it for Hangouts, but generally we're not posting to, we haven't all moved over to using that as our default social media.
Because it doesn't offer anything any different.
And I mean, for us, it's Facebook and Twitter.
It's more like Facebook
for
minus.
For most people, it is still Facebook because
I hate myself.
I mean, I'm exactly the same. I only have an account on there because there are lots of people I know who that's their only presence, and it's the way of me staying in touch with them. Otherwise, I wouldn't be able to do that. If most of the contacts I had on Facebook were also on Twitter, I wouldn't bother with Facebook.
Yeah, Tone's making another good point here in the chat room, how much of Google Plus has failed thanks to an association with Wave and Buzz. And I think that's a really good point because people have signed up to Wave and Buzz and it's kind of gone nowhere. So they're kind of like, well, I'm not going to go for Google Plus because it's the same thing with a different badge, isn't it?
They've been forced into signing up with it because they go, hey, look, you've got a Gmail account. You're going to be using Buzz now. Ah, no! Don't make me do it. Sorry.
I think it's just...
Yeah, I was really disappointed with Wave, though. I thought Wave was a really good idea. I don't know why
I rushed. I do think, like you, Paul, I think they killed it too soon. I think it was one of those things. It was a new way of doing things, and they needed to give it time to take off, and they killed it before they really had a chance to take off.
Unfortunately, thanks
an awesome pun there when I said crashed, but, you know.
Unfortunately, thanks to Paul's Norman Colorado, we have no idea what he thinks, but... You're really, really breaking up, dude.
Sorry.
It's all right, mate. It's okay. You sound pristine on all the other shows. How come? It's just when you kill hit the big time. There you go. It's my fault. I know. Google has been warning people in a rather ill-advised way, apparently, about the July 9th malware distribution. Apparently... there's been a whole pile of malware gone out there. It's infected several hundred thousand computers running OS X. Did you hear that?
Don't.
OS X. It's been out there for quite a while, and it's a DNS changer. It's called as RS Plug, Pooper, and Jarlav. Pooper doesn't sound good, does it? But effectively, the FBI have been suppressing this with a network of ghost click computers, in quotes, and they're going to be switched off on July 9th. So what it's going to mean is, if you've got this malware on your Mac, you are going to not get on the net thereafter.
So the FBI have been quietly making it so it's not taking effect, and they just go, ah, sod it, we'll turn it off on July 9th.
What
the bloody hell?
The FBI doing something quietly is not exactly news, but...
Yeah, no, it makes no sense.
If this was the FBI just switch it off when they originally found it. So, I mean, at least they'd be nice enough to keep it around for a while.
But no,
although it's really questionable whether that actually did help to inform anybody or whether they're just going to be as clueless. You know, as long as they're in control of these people's DNS and they can spoof it, if you ask me, they should just divert everyone to a page that has all the information they need to change their DNS settings.
That's your
There is one. It's dns-ok.us. Sorry, dns-ok.us is the site to go and check. And I'm okay. Hooray! I'm going to put my Mac on in a minute.
But no, I just mean because there have been horror stories that I've had to cover these also about how, well, the internet's going to shut down for people. They're going to wake up. They're going to find their computer's broken. And it's like, well, just put direct every DNS request to resolve to a page on the FBI site that just explains what's going on. Then there won't be any rioting in the streets.
No, but they won't do that. They'll just say, nah, stuff you were off. I've just clicked on James's link, dns-ok.us, and I got green. Your IP appears to be rendering correctly. There you go. Your lookup appears to be correct. So there we go. If you want further information, go to, and this is snappy, fbi.gov/news/stories/2011/November/malware_110911. There you go.
I mean, I'm assuming that without getting too geeky about it, that if you're on a Unix box of any description, all you've got to do is look at the etc host file. If you're a if you're on Windows basic operating system or not a server based, you've just got to look in Windows system 32 drivers etc host file to see if there's anything in there. I'm not sure on a Mac how you do that, but on a Windows server based operating system, you just look within the domain name service.
Did you all get that?
She lost me at etc.
It's as easy as that.
Right, I've just checked my laptop, and apparently that's okay as well. We're all getting the green screen.
That description, by the way, was for the benefit of anyone who's geeky, who wants to listen to it, who wants to do it in a more techie way.
Yeah, alternatively, go to dns-ok.us. Thank you, James.
By the way, that is the sketchiest sounding URL. I would not... Well, couldn't they have gotten a .gov at least to show that it's not some site that's going to hijack your computer and install viruses?
I don't know.
There's another site called dcwg.org, which is the DNS changer working group. On the front page, it's got a graph of the latest DNS changer victim count.
Oh, that's good. Name and shame. No, apparently one of the problems with this was that the way that Google was showing you that your computer may have a problem was they were putting something, a banner up, a pop-up, that looked very much like click here and we'll clean your computer. So you know, they got a very tacky way of trying to show you that there was a problem that looked like someone was trying to spoof the computer anyway, so... but it's again, it's another piece of OS X exploitation. So, bad luck them. Anyone got any other stories that they fancy going through? All right, that's the end of
that.
Go on, then.
I want to see what this Angry Birds theme park is.
I'd love to know what that looks like.
I want to know why the first one's in the UK. Why not the US?
Well, I don't mind about the UK bit because we're a happening place, but it's the Nottingham bit that bothers me.
Is Angry Birds from the UK?
Finland.
There's an Angry Birds in Finland, you say?
Yeah, I thought there was already one in Finland. They already had a park in... It's actually called Angry Birds Land, I think, in Finland. This one is going to be a section of another park.
Angry Birds Land?
So it's a theme park, right? Like a Disney World. I'm wondering, will they have a light version of the ticket so they only let you into like one ride and then they kick you out?
Apparently, this is going to be done at Sundown Adventureland. Now, Sundown Adventureland sounds like Heidi High. And if you don't know what Heidi High is, you need to go and look it up, Eric. Go onto YouTube and type in Heidi High.
It's not good.
How do you spell it?
HIDI-HI. Or DE-HI. There you go. High. And if you put that in, you will see possibly one of the most overexploited and worst sitcoms that the British have ever produced. It is. You disagree?
No, I completely agree with you.
There's another one called where a woman who's called Bucket calls herself Bouquet, and that is another one that is just it's Daily Mail television. It's awful.
It'll be Terry and June next.
And don't you dare to go on Terry and June. How dare you? You dare go for Terry Scott, young man. You and me at the bash will be doing sumo wrestling with fisticuffs if you start going on Terry Scott, mate.
Well, absolutely. Well, he played Danger Mouse. What was the name of Danger Mouse's
Penfold.
Well, yeah. Just Penfold.
Out of my demographic here somewhat. I've got nothing to input to this conversation.
Yeah, you wouldn't know Danger Mouse.
Danger Mouse. I don't know Benny and Joe or whatever. No, that was a film with
You can Google that and YouTube it the same as Eric's doing now. Terry Scott, Terry and June is perfectly good entertainment, right up there with Good Life and that kind of stuff.
I was just going to say Good Life.
Sundown Adventureland apparently is designed for under 10s only. That's why this may appeal. And I've got to say, Ellis is absolutely mad on Angry Birds for...
Sorry, before we get back on track, the thing I looked up, I want to point out, I didn't even have to go to Wikipedia because when I typed in Heidi High, it came up with a little biography on the side. And this is something that Google just recently implemented. I think I think they know that they're losing a lot of search results to Wikipedia. I think when you want to know something about a topic or a show or a person or a place or any kind of thing like that, any noun, the first place you go now is Wikipedia. That's where I go. And Google, that's going to be just a bunch of spam links and articles and meaningless stuff. But if you want to learn what something is from the ground up, I'd go to Wikipedia. So they're pulling. Go ahead.
I must admit, I actually, when I am trying to find out something, I tend to go to Google, type in the search term, and then I look down the list for the Wikipedia one and always click on that.
Well, Wikipedia is okay as long as you're getting the references. If you're getting an article that's got good referencing on it, that you can click on the references and go to the empirical article that's been provided by peers, then I think it's excellent. But
Well, I think one of the original visions for search engines, I think Google thought of themselves this way. I think search engines of the past certainly did as the ultimate research tools. I remember when I was a kid, they were like, oh, you want to learn about a topic? Go to a search engine, which could have unfortunate results, but sometimes it worked. And so do you guys think this is I think Google is feeling threatened. They're getting results stolen, not by a real competitor, but from a completely nonprofit information service.
That's fair. I think that's very fair. I mean, there's an awful lot of stuff. Even when I go in Google, the first search return is actually Wikipedia with correct information. And eventually, once you're in there for the first search term, you tend to follow the alternate clicks through the story and the reference clicks through the story that take you to other areas. So again, yep. That at that point, you're out of the Googleverse and you're into the Pediaverse you're off.
You've entered an ad-free zone.
In Carter 95, says James.
I bet that's not got Terry and June on it.
I bet you that has.
Was that a laser disc?
No, it's a CD.
I thought it was so big.
It's a what?
For a minute.
It's a CD. What were they?
In Carter 95. I love it.
It was so large. I couldn't, on the small screen, I couldn't see it. So in Carter 95, oh yes.
You know, I think the multimedia CD-ROM is coming. It's coming back.
Well, I mean, Encyclopedia Britannica is now an entire iOS app. That's 99 pence a month.
You download the whole lot.
Yeah. Beer coasters, says Super Chicken in the chat room. Spot on. Alex has said that he got the Minty Python reference, to which Jakes has jumped on. Was that a new flavour of Minty Python? Monty Python, you need to look that one up, fellas. God, blimey, I hate doing shows with youngsters.
Oh, no, I'm okay with Monty Python. I can catch that one.
Yeah, but not the first time around. You only got the repeats.
And it's pronounced Monty Python, not Monty Python. Monty Python. Monty Python. I love your Monty Python.
Sorry. James, did you take something while we weren't watching?
I've been on the Dr. Pepper this evening.
Oh, that explains it, James.
It's quite strong.
Is that available on prescription by what you're going on about? No?
Sorry.
This podcast and all the others is brought to you by UK2.net. They are a fantastic bunch. I've spent the day with them. I went down to the Marussia factory because they sponsor Marussia, and Marussia have been fabulous. What a wonderful, wonderful company to be associated with. We're going to do a little bit more with them, I think. I'm talking to Elisa there about what we can do to kind of hook up a bit more with BTN. UK2, as ever, have been fabulous. They support us. They look after us. We are very keen to continue with them. And I've had a chat with Craig today, and we've come out with an idea for a competition, in inverted commas, but not. If you want any web services, just go to uk2.net. They're brilliant. They're perfect. They've got great customer services, as well as if you send in a ticket because you've got a problem and you mark it as critical, you will get a resolution probably within 20 minutes to an hour of your trouble. They really do work hard. And we like them. They support us. They absorb 14 terabytes a month of bandwidth that we consume across the shows. And that was before we even started piling on Paul Wheatley vision with gamer.
No, it's not vision, clearly.
Paul Wheatley audio with gamer, iOS and web, amongst others. They're just great. They pick it all up. Please, please, please use our click-through. Go to, we're running low on battery. That's because I haven't plugged Eric in, sorry. If you go to britishtechnetwork.com, then you'll see in the bottom left-hand corner there's a UK2 logo. Click on that. There's a tracking link so that they know that we've sent you. If you use the offer codes and you haven't put in the British Tech link, then or gone through our click-through, they'll just presume that you got it off a website for voucher codes or something like that. So must use that click-through. Please, please, please use that, and then we get the kudos for sending you. If you want to sign into your account, use that link. If you just want to go there to browse and see what the prices are, use that link. Just use that link constantly. And if you want to buy anything, then when you get your basket all set up and you're ready to go, go through the checkout, and you'll be asked for offer codes. Put in the offer codes. British Tech DNS. That'll get you 20%. I think that gets 2 years of DNS management charge completely wiped off. If you type in British Tech domains, that'll get you 20% off any domains that you've purchased. Get 20% off, or get some money off VPN by typing in BagelTech VPN. VPS, you just put VPS on the end. So basically, you write British Tech, and then you put a suffix on the end. Just add any of those things there. Type whatever you fancy, see what happens. I've had a word with Craig. We're going to have a chat about doing a competition where there might be a bit of a Willy Wonka golden ticket for what you type on the end. We'll give you a clue. When that happens and you type it in, your basket may end up being free. We'll have to wait and see. But there you go. UK2.net, support them because they support us. And despite the fact that we've had some approaches for advertising from competitors of UK2, we've said no because they looked after us when we had about 10 listeners. So now that we've got something to purvey back to them, then we're going to carry on with them. We've got some real two-way loyalty, I hope. So thank you, UK2, for supporting us. We'd be lost without you. Absolutely. Right, it's time for the cool thingy. Mr. Hart, do you have a cool thingy for us?
Another laser disc, in fact. This is from about the same era, actually, 1996. What? I absolutely loved this game. I don't even. Does anyone know you don't know Jack?
No. Oh, I love it. Did you get the Xbox version?
It's an irreverent party game. This is original for PC. Well, Facebook has got You Don't Know Jack, and it is just as good. And basically, you can either play with your friends or with strangers. And it is hilarious. And it's I'm really glad it's got a wider audience because it is the most irreverent quiz. And I played it at lunchtime for the first time because it only came out a beta a couple of days ago. And I was just chuckling to myself. Really worth a go. I'll stick a link in the chat room. You Don't Know Jack. Just type it into the search thing. And it is hilarious.
I agree. I've got the Xbox one right here that you can get pretty cheaply now. I think so they had a big resurgence for the first time in like 10 years, I think in like 2011 or 2010. And so they wrote all new jokes, all new quiz sets. Yep. And I think they released the same jokes for Xbox, for iPad, for iPhone, for all different platforms.
It's coming out for iPhone and Android as well. Yes. I'm really looking forward to this because it is just so clever. New jokes, new jingles, the lot. Brilliant.
You guys need to get out now. Jesus.
Thanks, mate.
That's all right.
I'll tell you what, Ewan. Say that when you've played it.
I will. I shall go and
it is genius.
I should go and get it now. Is it available on iOS?
It's not yet. It's one of the Facebook apps, so it's at the moment you play it actually on Facebook and it's great fun.
No, that means I have to give up all my data for the
No, I think there was an iOS version.
Child.
Is there an iOS version? I think they've just come back out. I'll have to have a look in the App Store, but they've removed it and they've put a new version back on because they've done another re-release. They've made it so it's all parallel with I should have to have a look myself actually.
Away you go, chat room, find out if there's an iOS version. Good chaps. Thank you. My research team, Stuff Wikipedia, the British Tech chat room is far superior, far indeed. Faster. Mr. Wheatley, what do you have for us?
Well, unfortunately, I can't show you anything.
I've got a picture.
But what I have... Sorry?
I've got a picture, don't worry.
Ah, right, cool. My daughter's Wii broke about 6 weeks ago or something like that.
The DVD, you know, you can go to urologist instead of Wikipedia.
Sorry, say that again?
You can go to a urologist for that instead of Wikipedia.
Anyway, so I'm very familiar with the iFixit website. It's a fantastic resource, but I recently discovered that they have an app, and it's fantastic. And the nicest thing about it is instead of having to sit and repair your device sitting in front of your machine and then potentially, you know, a screw ends up flying off and cracking the monitor or something like that, you can have a little iPad sitting beside where you're working away, and it's great. And it goes through a step-by-step detail on, in this scenario, it was there for changing the DVD drive in the Wii, but it's got huge amounts of stuff in there. But so my pick is the iFixit app on iOS, and it's superb.
Excellent. Thank you, mate. Free app as well. Excellent. Really, really good. Chat room is suggesting that they are the British Tech Collective.
Although they've absolutely done bugger all to find out whether there's not
exactly
yet for it.
Come on, guys.
I've just put down, that sounds great, the British Tech Collective, I'm going to get a T-shirt made. And they're focusing on getting T-shirts for themselves rather than actually finding the answer to the frigging question.
Well, they can have some of mine because mine apparently are useless now.
Stay focused, people. Stay focused.
No answer means it's not there. Right, okay, Paul, thank you. Sarah, what do you have for a skill? A Paddy app?
Yes. My cool thingy is a little box that, some of you may know, we've got this nice little place over here, and I've been trying to kit it out with enough stuff so that I can actually do all the shows. One of the things I needed was a network switch, and I came across this nice little Netgear box, five port gigabit unmanaged switch that for £16 on Amazon. It's a Netgear one, so it's a pretty solid make, and I have to say, does the job very good. Mm-hmm. Quite happy with it. And it got, as I always like with things, it's got lots of lovely little blinking lights on it as well.
And that wasn't you swearing?
No, it wasn't.
Yes.
Here we go. Let's see if I can actually...
Oh, aye, aye. And yeah, it's twilight in Ireland, so there you go. Yep. You'll see perfect blinking.
Yep. There we go.
And you've only got two things in it?
Yes. I've got two PCs running at the moment, so... But yeah, it does the job. It's a nice little, went in my suitcase, no weight at all, which is quite an important thing.
Is that an Irish mainframe? Two computers linked together.
Well, something like that.
Huge net traffic.
But yes, it does. I'm actually getting quite, considering how relatively rural we are here, I'm actually getting a fairly good speed, as you can probably gather from the fact that I'm actually able to watch the stream and... stream pretty good video. I'm getting about 13.5 meg down, which for here is pretty good.
Right.
Yeah, rub it in.
I want to call out...
Sorry, Paul.
I want to call out the British Tech Collective, allegedly, that started this bloody thing about being the collective hive with the Star Trek references. DT's the only person in the chat room that's bothered his ass to go and look, because it's available for iOS. It's on youknownjack.com. So you're pathetic.
It's being relaunched.
Oh, okay. Sorry, chat room.
The 2011 version is being reborn as a cross-platform app.
New version coming soon. Well, yeah. Well done, DT, for even bothering to try and put a link in the chat room. The rest of you're all focused on frigging fashion. You want a T-shirt. British Tech Collective. Right.
Mr. David Walker comes on going, he says, coming soon, Ewan. Oh, so close.
Yeah, but my point is that he's the only person that bothered to get a link. Well done, DT.
And Missy says there's nothing wrong with fashion.
No, I absolutely agree. Apparently, we're going to see some pictures of Missy's mic soon because she's decorated it. It's got bacon and glitter on it already.
That's intense.
Pete is telling me to go somewhere and do something to myself. Thank you, Pete.
What did they say about covering something covered in glitter?
Turd rolled in glitter. DT is saying that he's the only one that gets a T-shirt. He is going to be the collective by himself. There we go. Shame on you, chat room.
I can think of a nice little T-shirt which would actually go quite well with all the show logos on it.
Right then, Lanigan, I've stalled long enough for you.
Okay, well, I do have a pick, actually.
Is it available at Staples?
Well, it might be. Well, you can get it on Xbox Live or PS3 because it is also a video game. I'm holding up Modern Warfare 3, Call of Duty Modern Warfare 3. Before this came out at the end of last year, I had not played a modern first-person shooter with any particular skill. I used to enjoy, you know, like Quake 3 Arena and Unreal Tournament and that series, and then I kind of got out of it for a while and never got into the console series where I had to, you know, train my thumbs for coordination. I'm glad I did. I think if you want to get into this or you want a very beautifully rendered experience for shooting your friends online, there's a very cool thing that they have. All right. So here's the deal.
I'm sorry, baby.
My pick is not so much this game, but the downloadable content they've come up with, because they've taken a really weird and I think interesting turn with what the Xbox, and I'm sure, I mean, any of these modern consoles, they obviously have phenomenal level designers. I mean, they design a level so there's nowhere you can actually just camp. I mean, anywhere around you, they can see you from where you are. Even if you are like a sniper up there, you can go and find them easily and, you know, exact your revenge. But what they've done, normally, when you have a game like this, especially this kind of game, which it takes place in the real world, it's not aliens and in the future or something, it's real war-torn locations. So often you'll get, you know, ruins, basically, like from the war is already there and now the ground troops are taking over. The new downloadable titles, maps, I mean, the downloadable multiplayer maps, are these beautiful outdoor scenic locations. They've got a beautiful, like, a little Italian villa. They've got the new one that just came out. You're running around shooting people, throwing grenades, dropping bombs from the sky and everything in, like, a palace-style hotel in Dubai. With the rendered marble floors and everything. I mean, it's really funny what they've done. My favorite that they just came out with, they came out with a whole new mode called 3v3. If you're like me, I just like to run around and, like, the first person I run into, I don't like to, like, hang back and camp and do, like, remote stuff like some people do. I like to just very fast action, just going through, running around fast as I can and see who I run into. So with the 3v3, you run into the people a lot more often than some of those much bigger maps. But my favorite of the new maps, you're literally the war, the place where this skirmish is happening is a beautiful waterfront beach house with, like, I mean, and they render the details down to the HD TVs on the wall and the pool table and the furniture and the outdoor lawn chairs and the swimming pool and the little spa and the towels nearby. I mean, you can go up to just to show what they can do, just to play with your mind. They have doors that are just slightly ajar. Like, I'm used to thinking of video games as playing the trick on you where you have doors that are closed so you don't realize that just a hollow flat wall because the CPU is already maxed out. When you go up to the door and you look inside, you can see, like, the inside of a storage closet or a bathroom or an office and a desk and a computer, and they render every item. If you go up to a store window in, like, the outdoor, like, the street levels, you see, like, every chair. I don't know how they do that. I want to learn how they do that because I didn't know that. How can they have such intricate detail,
Eric,
beyond beyond any rational level in a video game level? I'm very impressed, and it's a great deal. 60 frames per second, gorgeous scenery, fun target practice, the downloadable content to Modern Warfare 3.
It makes you feel like you're really shooting up an apartment on the seafront, on the waterfront.
Exactly.
Right.
Dude, you really like it then, huh?
If you're going to pick one first-person shooter to get back into, I would pick this one.
Is it going to be like the last Xbox game that you reviewed and raved about and talked about for ages, like Rayman 3 or whatever
Let me see. What can I say about this? Oh, they've got the downloadable levels too.
You thought that was crap when you came on the week after.
What?
You said it was crap the week after.
I did.
Yeah, you said it got only, like, you know, you finished it in 20 minutes. But.
Oh, yeah.
Well, if it's downloadable content, you've got another couple of hours there.
Eric, do you know that there is a British tech clan on Modern Warfare 3?
No.
Yes, there's a British tech clan, mate. Ooh. It's headed by Steve Naber. He's the one that set it all up. There is a clan for Modern Warfare 3 for the British tech network, and he is the guy that you can go and shoot easily because apparently he's crap.
I'm going to learn about that.
I'm crap as well. Can I play?
Oh, yeah. Paul Walker's on there too. I think Paul Walker. Paul in the chat room.
David
Paul,
Walker?
Paul from Norwich. No, it's Paul from Norwich. I don't think he has a surname. And Paulums on Twitter, at Paulums, he's in it as well. There is a Modern Warfare 3 clan. For British.
I'll join it up. Sure.
Do it. If you're listening, join the clan. Shoot Steve Naber. Stuff shooting your friends. Shoot Steve Naber.
Yeah.
He deserves it.
You're really selling it now.
Well, now we're on the subject of Steve Naber, the mead is coming tomorrow via a courier. Tomorrow morning, there will be a truck turn up at my door, which will have 5 gallons of mead ready for the bash. The bash is happening on the 6th of July in a few weeks' time. If you want a ticket, you need to go to eventbrite.co.uk. Go to our website. There's a banner up there. Click on that. Go through to Eventbrite. You need to buy a ticket. It's £20. But that'll cover an awful lot of stuff. We've got a pig roast on. There's food. I'm hoping that a firm here in Birmingham that I'm doing some work for is going to supply a pile of beer as well as. We've got a big field. Bring a tent if you want. You can kip in the tent. If you stay in the tent overnight, though, you might have to crap in the field next door. But there'll be some fun.
Doesn't sound like fun.
You don't have to stay in a hotel. You can come and camp if you really want. We've got 5 acres of space and some rugby balls and some rugby posts. There we go. We'll have a fun time. Friday the 6th of July with mead, 11 a.m. onwards. Drinking will start at 11 and finish whenever. Whenever. We have no idea. We'll do some Guinness studies. That's what we need. There we go.
Be up to
book your ticket.
100,000 by then.
Anyone here not going apart from Eric? No. You see, they're all coming.
I want to be there.
Perfect. The bash. Be there. Right. My pick is not a pick because it's super cool. It's a pick because it's a really good price at the minute. Spinning drives have gone up in price an awful lot since the flooding in Thailand, but the flooding in Thailand is no longer an issue, apparently, and an awful lot of them have still got quite a high price. But there is a great deal at the moment on eBuyer. They have got a 3 terabyte Seagate Barracuda drive, 7200 RPM, and it's £124, which is a pretty good price, I think. I've gone and bought 4 of them. So,
wow, have drive prices recovered since that? What was it, a flood or a tsunami?
Well, the problem was there was an article that I read today in the Telegraph that was talking about that drive prices went up because of the tsunami and the spindle issue and that kind of stuff. But that's no longer an issue. But the drive prices haven't come down. But I've got to say, in the UK, certainly, I don't see that as being the case. I mean, if you go and look at the prices on scan.co.uk, they're very, very good at the moment. And certainly eBuyer has got the best prices going for spinning drives. And 7200 RPM and 3 terabytes, I think 124 is a real good,
absolutely
good price.
Absolutely right.
I mean, that's probably, what, $160? So that's not bad.
Not bad.
3 terabytes, Eric?
That's really good. I mean, when the tsunami happened, Amazon's prices literally doubled overnight. So it sounds like they're finally getting back into where they used to be.
Well, no, what they're saying is that the global market seems to be saying that the tsunami flooding was no longer an issue, but the prices haven't recovered. But in the UK, certainly, we're seeing reasonably decent prices. So they're not back to where they were beforehand, but they're certainly, I mean, for 3 terabytes, I think that's really good. And I've got a 4-bay RAID system that sits under the desk here that's got a lot of stuff for storage for the shows and that kind of thing. And those have got 1 terabyte drives in at the moment, but the ones that have got the ones that are set up individually, they're all going to get popped out over the weekend, and the 4 3-terabytes are going to go in, and I'll have a 12 terabyte storage for RAID, which will do all the video and that kind of stuff. But mate, you can't laugh.
So I'm looking at Alex asking whether there'll be facilities at the bash.
There will be. Yeah, no, during the day we've got...
We'll be digging a ditch, says Tone.
I was going to say, this isn't going to be fun for me.
Yes, you'll have a toilet. Don't worry. I can't vouch who's going to be in there with you, but there'll be a toilet. Don't worry. It's not a field. During the day, it's fine. I'm talking about if you're camping there overnight, the facilities won't be open. You'll have to go pee in the field next door. But there's cows in the field next door and rabbits come out at night. And I'll have me gun and we'll have rabbit for breakfast. Fresh shot rabbit. There's an electric fence. No, there's no electric fence. Reviews. Reviews. Please, please, please go and give us some reviews in iTunes. We are very pleased to say that all of the shows are being reviewed pretty well, actually, in iTunes. Thank you very much to those people that have. Joey Deacon has left us a review on the Big Show. He said, "Thanks, guys. Great podcast. Stumbled upon this after finding, after hunting around to try and find a replacement for Dignation. I'm flattered, mate, because that's that was a good show. Really well balanced look at tech, not just from the American point of view. And I've subscribed. Thanks, mate." Perfect. Martin Meadows Evans said, "Lovely, easy listening." I'm not sure I'm flattered by the easy listening, but it makes me sound like Radio 2. "To brighten up your day and have a chuckle to yourself on the commute to work or home. Knowledgeable panel, great banter. If you like your tech, but not too formal or serious, then this is the one for you. And if you go to the American store," we'll do a few international ones this week on the shows. C. Valentine has said, "All the shows are wonderfully entertaining. A should watch, listen. Pick any show, you should enjoy it. This is my first rating on iTunes, so I'm glad we got your virginity."
Hey, welcome.
Ms. or Mr. Valentine, whoever you are. Wonderful, wonderful. Thank you very much for leaving them. That's not me reading out the good ones and leaving out the bad ones. As I proved last week on the photo show, I'm quite happy to read out the bad ones. Whatever you write, we'll put it up. So please give us a review and we'll read it out on the show the following week. We probably get about 3 reviews a week on these things, so if you're one of the reviews, you're almost certain to get read out. Thank you very much. Right, where can we get a hold of your peeps, Mr. Hart?
I'm on the Twitter, S-Y-Z-Y-G-Y, and you might see me on You Don't Know Jack, because I'm not entirely sure I can leave us alone at the moment. That's not a euphemism.
I will be downloading it the minute the iOS version comes out. Thank you, sir. Mm-hmm. Mr. Wheatley, where are you?
You can get me on 3 of the podcasts on this network, or you can get me at Paul Wheatley on Twitter. Actually, can I be really cheeky and do a bit of a charity thing?
Yes, yeah. Of course you can. Always charities, no problem.
Cool. Okay, well, my sister-in-law is climbing Kilimanjaro in the summer, and it's for Child Reach International. And now she's a student, so if she doesn't raise enough money to go, she's probably going to end up moving in with me and my other half for the summer, and I don't want that. So if people can go and sponsor her, if you go to bit.ly, so that's bit.ly/EmmaF, and chuck some money. It's a really good charity, Child Reach, and I really don't want to have to put up with her over the summer. I would be much appreciated. And that's me.
No worries. Put some details in the show notes for us, mate, and we'll set a little banner up for her on page 1.
Perfect. Thank you very much.
No problem at all. Emma F is probably something that she wants to change, though, as a handle.
Okay, we'll leave that.
Sarah,
I actually set that up. She doesn't know how to do it.
Yeah, no, she's going to kill you, mate, when she sees you. Sarah, where can we get you? You're going slowly dimmer and dimmer there in Ireland. Yeah, I take it the sun's setting.
It is. It's because I've got the French windows open in front of me. They're not open, but it's getting darker. And the lights on I've got on, I put them on behind me before the show started to give it some balance. If I hadn't done that, I would be in complete darkness by now.
No, you need something at the front, Mrs.
Lamp. The only one I've got is directly ahead and overhead, and I thought that would be a bit too strong, so I left that off. But anyway, you can get a hold of me on the Twitters and almost everywhere else at Sarah Jane UK.
Thank you, mate. And Mr. Lanigan, where can we get hold of you, pal?
That would be ericlanigan.com and twitter.com/ericlanigan, ericlanigan.
I'm impressed you spelt it properly this week. Well done, mate. You're practicing, obviously, in the mirror.
We'll never get it wrong.
You have. You've cocked it up a lot in the last couple of weeks. We'll be back. Go on.
I have?
Yeah. I'll dig the audio out and send it to you. Alzheimer's is a terrible affliction, mate.
We need an outtake.
Especially at 25. We'll be back again tomorrow morning. We've got the Daily Show. So the Daily Show that's actually 3 times a week now, but we've done 2 weeks now at 3 times a week. So I'm pretty chuffed with myself there. We've also got then the photo show at 2:00, in which you can listen to me display my incompetence. And you can watch the Mac show at 3:30. Adam Christensen's coming on from the Maccast, and a few other peeps, and we're going to have a good fun time. And then we'll have a Google Hangout. And my wife's away in the morning. She's going down south to spend the weekend with the kids and her dad, and she won't be back until Tuesday. So this weekend there will be beer akimbo. So should
all
be
the cats away.
Good hangout tomorrow night. No, that's rubbish. I don't do anything frivolous. I just drink. We'll see you next week. Thanks for listening.